Hey guys, what's up? How are we feeling this week? Feel free to let me know down below. I'm going to change the weekly little question on the episode to how do you guys feel? I'm always talking about how I feel, so I want to know how you guys are doing. It means a lot to me. In addition to new things though, I want to add a new segment. I'm dropping Miss Reflection. Lately, the reflection of the week has been the topic of the episode, so we're going to get there anyway. So I want to implement something new. I want to tell you guys about what I'm reading. I'm always reading something, so let's talk about it. Okay, I do have a reading goal for this year, 20 books, and I just finished my 9th one, so yay to me. Perfect timing. I'm supposed to be done with my 10th one by the middle of the month, and I can probably knock out 11 before we get to August at the rate that I'm going at. My reading goal at the beginning of the year was way too overzealous. A little backstory, in 2022, I had read like 47 books or something like that. So the reading goal for this year was 50 to like try and overcompensate for the lack of books that I read in 2023. I think it was only 9. And it's like, okay, that's fine. I'm in a different place with time every year. And in 22, I guess I just had lots of time. Seems like most of my time to read. But I decided to, you know, figure out where I am and how I want to split up my interest this year. And 20 books felt right. And it's working out so far. So, book 9. Guys, oh my gosh. One of the best reads I've ever read in my life. This was my first Virginia Woolf book. And I mean, I don't know, but I think that that was like my favorite book that I've ever read. Ever. No book has ever left me that like speechless before. After I finished it, I was like, oh my gosh, like what have I been missing? Virginia Woolf is a freaking genius. Like she was way ahead of her time. She was a woman that knew so much about people. Like she studied psychology or something, but she didn't. She was just a writer. And to say just a writer feels like a disservice. She was a genius. She was a genius, but she wasn't a psychologist or a psychiatrist or anything of that nature. She was a writer. So her main point, the reason why it was called A Room of One's Own, was because she was talking about women in literature and fiction in particular, and how women just need a room of their own to write. And everybody was like, oh, what does that have to do with women in literature at the time? Because women didn't have any privacy. They had no places of their own. They were running around the house with their 12, 13 kids. What was privacy? Why do you need privacy? Why do you need time to yourself? Your job is to watch the kids and take care of the house. Do that. Like you don't even need to be writing. But when women got the opportunity to become authors and be something else other than a mother, like they had the choice. At this point, it was really just women that came across wealth, but she was speaking for the common reader and the common woman who wanted to change her life. And she's like, if you don't want to do this, that, and the third, if you don't want to pop out 13 babies by the time you're 21 years old, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, actually. And I think we need to start pushing for women to get paid. We're all broke. We're all poor. Let's talk about why we're broke and why we're poor and how we can change that and why we need a room of our own. She talked about the idea of an androgynous mind way ahead of her time in so many regards. Like, they didn't start talking about androgyny and fluidity in gender and in the human brain until the 1970s and 80s. But she was like, in order to be a well-versed writer and a person who is respected in literature, you need to know what you're talking about. And if you're a woman writing to the common people, or just society in general, it's no use to men. And if men are just writing for men, then it's no use to women, and you're never gonna get the audience reach that you want. And she was like, we need to start thinking fluidly, and just so many things that nobody was talking about in the 19th century. She was truly a blessing and a gift. She was a feminist that was for the people and for real, true equality. If any of that sounds enjoyable to you, I definitely recommend it. I think that it's just a beautiful body of work in general. You're gonna enjoy all 114 pages, trust me. In addition to always reading something though, I am also always listening to something. So let's talk about this song of the week. Groove Theory by the Kalani Parrish.
Perfume and black eyes. All I see is my POV of you in the passenger side, and it's up your feelings.
come on. Oh, guys, you don't understand how much I love that album. It has been the only thing that's gotten me to turn off Bryson's album, and I have not been pairing Bryson's album Dust. I still keep it in the rotation, but for the most part, I am only listening to Crash by Kalani. I mean, they know how to do music. They know how to make songs. I love Kalani so much, and I can't wait for the tour. I'm trying not to splurge on tours this year. I have money to save, but I did get VIP tickets for Sabrina Carpenter. Everybody clap. Everybody clap. I'm so happy. Like, the VIP packages that Sabrina put together, she really loves her fans, and she's been waiting for this stardom because, like, I have never seen anybody that dedicated to, just wait till I hear about it. The plan is to get a camera so that I can record the whole thing, and I'm probably going to upload it to YouTube. I really want to start uploading my concert experiences to YouTube, but that's for a later time, though I will be getting tickets to Kalani. I don't care what I have to do. I am just gonna factor it into the budget. I'm seeing Kalani. I wasn't able to see Kalani 2 years ago for Blue Water Road. I'm not letting anything stop me. Nobody is getting in the way of me seeing that woman. Anyway, with the segments out of the way, let's get into the contents of this episode, shall we? Okay. I want to talk about minor setbacks without desiring a major comeback. The other day, I was really going through a lot, and it was a lot of things going on externally, not really with me. It wasn't an internal battle. It was just like external things. And I didn't get up as early as I wanted to, and I didn't get to do all of the things that I wanted. And typically for me, after having a couple days of like peace and giving myself some allotted time to just be and to like calm down and relax and stuff, if I set some time out to do certain tasks, then I'll want to complete those, and I'll beat myself up about it really badly if I don't complete those. However, I thought back and I was thinking about something in therapy that I learned, not from the last therapist that I had, but she caught me in a time where I was really messed up mentally, and she told me about this thing that she had developed called dysfunctional unconscious beliefs, and how our brains get us to think a certain thing and then we can't get out of that mindset. So she counters it with a functional belief, the dysfunctional unconscious belief, which I started to call dubs, just, you know, because that's a mouthful, was my value as a person is based on my latest and greatest performance. And she countered that statement with the functional belief that my value as a person is directly related to the criteria that I authorize for my self-worth. It's a thing that I struggled with for a long time. I had to constantly remind myself, and I still struggle with it. That's why I always refer back to these things, that hustle culture has conditioned us to think that if we're not working at our highest performance, right, or jumping through hoops and to-do lists on a schedule all the time, then we're lazy or we're not driven. And that's ridiculous because we're not circus acts, we're people. And while there is nothing wrong with desiring recognition and approval where it's due, we also have to remember our worth as people is not dependent on our latest and greatest performances. Think about the criteria that you set and your favorite qualities and attributes about yourself and how you can find worth in those things. Just finding worth in ways that's not directly linked to your productivity. You don't have to be productive 24/7 because you're not a machine. Like I said, of course we want recognition and applause for the things that we work really hard for and that we accomplish, and I'm sure you're gonna get that. But when the applause dies down, how do you feel about yourself? She said to me one day, "Do you need to read your resume bio before you go to bed in order to feel validation and feel like you're a person that has worth?" And I was like, oh my God, oh my gosh. And thinking about it that way is like, why are we so dependent constantly on like how we perform and how we achieve? What got me to thinking that I suck if I'm not constantly doing something? I struggled a lot with grades. Like, and I've said this before, I was not a good student. I don't know how I got to the point that I'm at today, honestly. I decided to put just a little bit of work into me wanting to have a career, and I didn't see any other pathways but the thing that I was passionate in. I wasn't gonna force myself to fit in a box. A lot of people told me to do a lot of different things that I just wasn't interested in, and I figured out the path for myself. but that drive came from absolutely nowhere. If you ask me, like, when I think back to it, I'm like, oh, well, I had to get it together one way or another. Like, I was labeled as like stupid and I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, well, if I'm not a good student, then what am I? My family used to tell me back in the day, like, you only have one job and that's to be a student and you suck at it. So like, get it together. And I was just like, oh, well, okay. And if you fall deeply enough into that belief that your productivity is tied directly to your worth, then you lose sight of real confidence.
And if we're thinking about this as it relates to confidence, which I was the other day,
I saw someone say that if all your confidence comes from your looks, then you need to reassess. And that made me think about a lot of different things. I was like, wow, like, what if I didn't have this face or this body or these things that I worked so hard to love? What am I confident about? I love my kindness. I love how I see the world. I love my passion for the good things out there. I love my connection to nature. I love my mind and the way that I think because it's specific to me and no one else can think like me. I love all the resilience that I have to make it through the hard things because I think that I've been through a lot in life and my ability to remain so optimistic throughout all of it is something to admire, in my opinion. And all these things that I just listed have nothing to do with my productivity or my looks. They are who I am beyond the worldly and the physical. And I think that it's a good thing to remind ourselves of that sometimes because we get lost in the way that people think we should be performing. And that has absolutely nothing to do with your worth as a person. But that's the spill today, guys. I really hope this helped you because it definitely helped me. All these things come to me because I'm also a very young and vulnerable person learning to get through life and going through the motions all the time, every single day. I think the beauty in this podcast is not like a I'm perfect, so I'm giving you guys some cheat code to life, but it's more so a I'm learning too. Some really bad things have happened to me and this is how I'm getting through it. So I'm giving my friends and supporters some advice on how I got through it and I hope it helps you. But yes, I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I'm really feeling season two. I think that each time I set up this mic and I start recording, I can feel the connection and each time I get better and better.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Wherever you are in your week, I hope you enjoy the rest of it and I will see you guys next time. Bye.